I want to thank Randy for the kind words. Yeah, we directed senior age, high school age youth camp together for a number of years. And one of the things I remember about that was every year, if you were the director, you had to go over all the rules at the beginning of camp. And Randy and I just thought that was so boring and so tiresome. And so we decided we would make a video of the do's and don't do's. And that was one of the biggest hits we ever did at camp, wasn't it? It was really good. So, I'm an assistant pastor at Old Union Church east of Lawson, where I pastored, senior pastor for 28 years, and I semi-retired a couple of years ago. And a younger man, younger than us, I guess, and who had pastored for some 20 years, and his family had originally attended Old Union Church, accepted a call to come as lead pastor, which was really an amazing thing, because I told the church board, I said, nobody will come and stay where a pastor who had been there 28 years is still there. And they said, well, if God wants it that way. And they wanted me to stay on in a supporting role, and Pastor Danny came and was happy to have me remain on board. And so they give me the freedom to periodically, whenever I have the opportunity, go and speak at places. And Randy, thank you for the opportunity. I don't know that I miss the weekly grind of sermon preparation, but I sure miss the opportunity to speak, and so I thank you for that today. By the way, Old Union didn't have church today, and I'm actually not sure if it was the weather, the roads, or the lack of power, probably a combination of all three. But I would have looked forward to streaming North Point's service and listen to Andy Stanley. And so I'm a little disappointed that I have to listen to me, but and maybe you will be too when we're done. But at Old Union, Pastor Danny's in a series entitled "Starting Line: Racing Toward an Extraordinary 2019." And so, in the first couple of messages, he's mentioned resolutions, and so I think church people kind of get tired of it about, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in when the pastor keeps wondering how you're doing on your resolutions. So I'm not going to ask you that question. I'm just going to say that Pastor Danny said he has read that most resolutions are broken and done with by the 15th. So you got 2 days. In my own life, instead of resolutions, a few years ago, I had heard other people do it, and I decided to do it for me, and I adopted a scriptural word or phrase to be my New Year focus, and found that I've been able throughout the years to kind of stick with that. And this year, my phrase is "seek first" from Matthew 6:33, and I've kind of grabbed on to, I believe it's Mercy Me's song, "Only Jesus." And so that's where my focus is. By the way, that doesn't make someone who does that any more spiritual than anybody else. It just means we need more focus than maybe the average person. And so that verse is at the close of the text that we'll be looking at today. The title of the message this morning is "Eternal Focus," in keeping with Randy's series theme about living for eternity right now. Eternity is not something that just exists out there. We are in the midst, as followers of Jesus, who already have been given the promise of eternal life. We're in the midst of eternity, and we need to live with that eternal viewpoint day by day by day and moment by moment. By the way, I've stolen this title from my daughter, who has a photography business called Eternal Focus, and so I didn't really get the copyright on that from her, but I don't think she will mind. Our text today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 33. If you're like me, I like to have a Bible in my hand to read it for myself. Most of the text will be on the screen, but if you want to open your Bibles or your digital device or however and wherever you read God's Word, feel free to turn there, and we'll be working our way through this text. It's full of illustrations and full of questions because that's how Jesus taught, wasn't it? He was always illustrating. He was always asking people questions to draw their attention to the truth that he wanted to communicate. And in this section, we find three implied questions that I believe have very powerful and important eternal ramifications for us. And I hope you will, not only this morning during the service, but in the days to come, give significant consideration to them. And so, together today, we want to seek an eternal focus to help guide our living in 2019. And so let's start with this first underlying question in this text. What do you value? What do you value? Let's take a look at verses 19 to 23 of our study. Don't store up treasures, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way. Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty and where they will be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will be also. Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be. And so here's our question. What really matters to you? I mean, what really matters to you? For many years when I was younger, I've always been a big baseball and sports fan, and I collected a lot of baseball cards as a kid and hung on to a few into adulthood and collected kind of older vintage cards, and then I got into thinking I could make some money at it, so I started buying and selling the stuff. But anyway, that's really not the point. But I do still have some old baseball cards, and this is one of my favorites. It's a 1953 Eddie Matthews, who played for the Milwaukee Braves and then the Atlanta Braves. Some of the you older sports fans will remember him. What you'll notice about this card is that it's kept in this case. Now, when I was younger, we used to take some cards and put them in our bike spokes. Anybody else do that here? But this is one that deserves something better. And so what this tells you is that I value this. It's important to me. I keep it in a special case. Whatever we value, we take special care and attention toward. And so to help with honest assessment, let me just offer these ideas. You might take time to review your credit card statement. See where you're spending your money. Look over your calendar from the past year and where are you devoting your time? Identify how you tend to spend your free time. When you do have some disposable hours, what do you do with them? And you'll begin to capture a sense of what you value. It's at least a place to start for us. And then ask two questions of these things in your life. First of all, is it lasting? Jesus said, don't store up treasure on earth. Why? Because it doesn't last. And so are the things that you value, the things that you are investing your life in, do they really have eternal value? And value right now for the kingdom of God. And so will the things that you're investing in and giving your life to, will they last beyond this earthly life? If not, then you ought to begin today in this early part of the new year to make those adjustments. And then secondly, Jesus encouraged us to ask this question of the things that we value. Are they or is it life-giving? And Jesus used the illustration of our eyes through which we see and we are able to visualize our world. You, not only physically speaking, but personally and spiritually speaking, you create or allow a value lens to take shape in your heart. And that value lens will determine how you view all things in your life and how clearly you see what matters both for time and eternity. And so let me ask you, when you pause to think about it and you look through your value lens, does it bring light in so that you can see the world around you with clarity? And then based on those values that you live by, do you shine light for others to see and be able to live well? And so, what do you really value? I hope you'll answer that honestly today. And then Jesus gives us a second question in verse 24. And the question is simply this: who is your master? Who is your master? I was in college during the 70s, and rock icon Bob Dylan, who I really wasn't that crazy about. I didn't really have any of his music. But in 1979, he wrote a song called Gotta Serve Somebody. And so I just put the lyrics on a slide, at just a portion of them. This is actually just the first verse and the chorus to it. It actually has six verses. It is not great literature, to be sure. But he writes, "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls." And then he has six verses about what you might be. But his point is theologically sound, surprisingly. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And so who is your master? Because the unavoidable life reality is you serve someone. And one of the most important things you can do at the start of 2019 is to make sure you know who your master is and who you are serving. The idea of personal autonomy, total personal autonomy, of course, is a myth. The question is, who are you going to serve, and who will you choose as master? And Jesus knew this, and he brings it into focus here in the text that says, you cannot serve both money, was his focus in as he taught, or you're going to let God be your master. Now, let me just suggest a couple of things to you. In spite of what Jesus says, nearly everyone, even those of us who claim to follow Jesus, will try to serve more than one master. And so here's the corollary truth to you serve someone, you also cannot serve multiple masters. You can't do it. We all try at some point in time, and maybe some of you are trying to do that today as you make out that you're following Jesus. And maybe you are to some extent, but in reality, when you look at your values and you consider what's really guiding you, that you are trying to serve not only God, but things and people and other aspects of life. So you can't game the system. Let me assure you that. And as Christians, we're often try to please God while at the same time playing him against pleasure and possessions and people or a host of personal earthly masters that people can adopt. And no matter who you are, when you try to do that, your life will experience fragmentation. It will experience frustration. And ultimately, we'll find ourselves living out a failed life. And so you will choose a master. And so the question ultimately for 2019 is, who will it be? Who will be your master? And Jesus then continues his teaching by urging us not to live fixated on that which is merely earthly in nature, but to live for eternity right now. And he uses five rhetorical questions, and don't get scared by the fact of five because I'm not going to belabor any of them. But he adds He illustrates them with some wonderful, simple word pictures, as was Jesus' way to drive home the truth. And the underlying teaching, and underlying the teaching, is this question, our third question. First of all, what do you value? Second of all, who is your master? And then, where is your trust? Where is your trust truly based? And if you haven't come to grips with what you value or who your master is, then Jesus' questions here will help expose those realities to us. And so let's start with question number one. It's in verse 25 of Matthew 6. And Jesus says, "So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes." And then here's his question. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Answer, help me out. Yes, it does consist of far more than our physical needs. And Jesus makes it clear that living with physical needs as a primary focus is a bad way to live. He wants us to live bigger and to live better, to live with an eternal viewpoint. And then secondly, Jesus looks at the birds to frame the next question in verse 26. He says, "Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father needs them." And then here's question number two. "And aren't you more valuable to him than they are?" Answer, everybody knows it. Yes, we are more valuable to him than even the birds that he created. Any bird feeders here amongst us? Yeah. Yeah, I've got multiple bird feeders outside, and I also feed them on the ground in one area. And so yesterday, when all the snow was on the ground, guess what I did for the birds? I fed them. God really didn't need me to do that. Or maybe he prompts me to do that because he cares for the birds, and he sees to their feeding. Just think about this for a moment. You are his crowning creation. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And so it is his absolute joy to value you and care for you. And he loves you so much, you're so valuable to him, that he wants an eternal relationship with you. And so Jesus' message is, live like that's the case. Don't live just focused on physical needs and earthly needs, but live out a life relationship with God that emphasizes your eternal character as his child. And then in verse 27, we find a third question, and you will see it on the screen. "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Answer, of course not. No. Worriers here in the house, along with me, I'm pretty adept at it, by the way. Just ask my wife. I'm a cynic by nature, which doesn't make that an excuse, but so I tend to anticipate that the worst is probably going to happen. And of course, it seldom does, and so I've worried for no reason at all. And so when it comes even to our own life, which Susan and I were talking, and I said, we're all day-to-day, aren't we? Of course we are. But worrying about today or tomorrow doesn't change that reality, and none of us are going to add a single second to our life by worrying. And so, don't worry about it. Don't be consumed by mere earthly concerns. Again, live bigger, live better with an eternal focus. And then Jesus turns to another nature illustration, and he turns to the wildflowers to draw a fourth question. And we pick up the text at verse 28. "And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And then here's our question. If God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? Answer, yes. This is really easy, isn't it? It's really easy to answer, not so easy to live it out. Neither my wife or I are great plant growers, but I do have some landscaping I did out front of our house, and the plants there produce some flowers. But I was walking back on our property. We have 10 acres just outside Lawson, and I was walking back there during the summer, and I noticed some wild daisies, just absolutely beautiful. And so I picked some. I'm not definitely by nature a romantic in any sense, but I picked those flowers just because they grabbed my attention. And I took them to the house, and I got a vase all by myself, put some water in it, and stuck them in there and put them on the table. My wife was amazed. So. But they were absolutely beautiful. And if God clothes the wildflowers that only last for a short period of time, he'll take care of our needs, won't he? And then Jesus just threw this in for good measure, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith, and I say of myself, amen." Our trust is so often misplaced, and we lack faith in our eternal God and his eternal plan and purpose for us. And so we've got one more question from Jesus. This is the most personal and penetrating of all of them. Verse 31 of our text. And Jesus again keeps emphasizing not to be worried, not to focus our life, not to be consumed with the physical needs of life. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. And then he asks this question. You need to ask it to yourself. He says, "Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." And so Jesus asks, and we need to ask ourselves, why do we live like people who don't know God? Why? Who are so consumed with the earthly, give no thought to the eternal, and find their lives so unsatisfying. And the answer to the question, why do we do that? Well, there's no real reason. It's foolish to live that way. But the reality is, many of us who follow Jesus are afflicted with some level or form of what I call practical atheism. We operate often like those who don't know God at all, doubting his care and exhibiting trust in anything and anyone but him. Can I urge you in 2019 to shift your focus? Ground your trust in the eternal God who, as Jesus said, knows your every need and will meet your every need. And so I urge you, don't waste your life in 2019 focusing on and worrying about earthly things. Live for eternity and live for it now. And so we come to my verse for the year about seeking first the kingdom. And whatever is engaged with the kingdom of God is eternal in nature. And so our response in light of eternity is to root all of our value in him, to make him our only master, and to trust him fully in everything and for everything. Would you make a decision here early in 2019 to make the kingdom of God your primary concern? And then let God take care of the rest, because he will add all the other earthly needs and stuff out of his wonderful love for us. He will bless us in earthly ways, but that's really not our business. Our business is to live for the kingdom and live for eternity now. If you'll do that, eternity will break through into your earthly life in ways that you have not before experienced. I have seen it in my own life recently. And God will make your days here rich and rewarding with His love and grace. May you make 2019 count for eternity. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us in the dark about what really matters. And though how often we continue to live for things that are of very little importance and certainly not, don't matter for eternity. And so just help us to see more clearly today and in the days to come. And may we truly focus our hearts and our minds and our lives and our actions day to day on that which will matter for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong.